It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Miha podcast. I'm here with my friend.
What's up, y'all?
Desiana Torres. She's here, and she is here to talk about healthy versus toxic relationships with me today.
Yes, the conversation that I feel like it's really been, I think, uprising a lot now. People have been talking a lot more about what their relationships have been like, so I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, it's going to be good, because if you don't already know Des, you should, but you should be following her. She is a poet, an activist, a social worker, a community healer, and she's my friend.
Yes, definitely. Friendship above everything.
Yeah, above everything for sure. Come closer so the people can see your beautiful face.
Yeah, see me.
We are live on Instagram right now, so what's up, Instagram? Also, say what's up to everybody from the Good News Network who's at the pool party right now without me.
Woo-woo! You'll be getting there soon.
Oh, wait. Wrong sound effect.
We got it.
Aww. That's the sound of me not being at the pool party yet, but I'm going to come after this.
It's still going to be lit.
And then it's going to feel like this. When I walk in.
The party's here.
Snooki, dude, I used to say that when I would walk in a place. Party's here. Cavs are here. So last night I went to Culichi Town. Have you been there?
No. Actually, I think somebody mentioned it to me. I wanted to go, but I haven't been yet.
So I'm not a sushi person.
But I'm still getting into sushi.
Too. It's like a fusion of like sushi and Mexican food, and then they have banda there. What? And so, yeah, it's like a fusion restaurant. So it was cool, but I don't like raw food, okay?
I'm the same way. Like, my sushi has to be cooked.
No, you know what? I got a steak roll thinking that that's what I was getting.
Uh-oh, what did you get?
Honey, the steak was raw.
Wait, they just put a raw piece of meat on your plate?
They did.
Isn't that kind of unhealthy?
I don't know what it is, but it wasn't worth $19.
Did you eat it?
The first one I ate because I figured that it was, so I had to eat it in order to figure out that it was not cooked.
Oh.
Because it was like underneath like cheese or something.
Yeah, it's rolled
know.
Up, right? Yeah. So it wasn't until it was you took your first bite.
That I was like, what the hell is this?
Oh my gosh.
I was really like, what the hell was this?
How was the experience? Oh, I guess the sound said it.
Well, no, the food was good because they had, you know what they had? Frijoles, puercos.
Ooh.
So those are bomb. It's just chorizo and beans together, but it was just, man, those
amazing.
Are popping. So they
amazing.
Give you that when you get there, like with the salsa and the chips
so
and everything.
So it's like a little appetizer. It's free?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's free.
Look, I love when restaurants do that because most of them really charge, but some of the appetizers, you know, they do be hidden. They be good.
Yeah. And we had the bombest mango micheladas ever.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you about it. You're going to have to send me the address of this
fire.
Place.
It's in Pico Rivera. There's one in Bell, too. You can bring your mic closer to you if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to need to. My little short self. There we go.
So we have some updates. The update is my gig in Delano is on Tuesday morning. Shout out to the wonderful company for booking me.
Amazing.
Shout out to Anna from the wonderful company, who also happens to be the sister of Jackie, who is the first lady of the Good News Network. So shout out. I want to give props where props are due, you know, because like I said, this is the way I earn my living. And when people mention my name in rooms full of opportunities, that means the world to me. And so thank you.
It's so important to hear just how the universe works. You know how everything just wraps right back around to work in your favor. So, and I know that although you're giving a lot of praise to everyone, it wouldn't exist if you weren't putting in the hard work. So I appreciate you for coming out and stepping out in fear for things that seem scary, but honestly, to see you flourish in it, it's such a blessing.
Thank you. It was scary. You saw me right before this. We were even to this day, you guys, I'm still tripping. I'm still
breathing. Yes.
She made me do 3 deep breaths.
Right before. We also got sage burning in the back, too.
Yeah, just for, you know,
keeping
extra
good
measures.
Energy. Yeah.
So I wanted let's tell them how we met. We met through Hood Liberation. Shout out Hood Liberation. Shout out Pasadena.
Yes,
shout out
Altadena.
Talk a little bit about Hood Liberation.
Yeah, so Hood Liberation is really something that's so important to the group. A lot of us have come together last year during the uprisings, and I know you were a part of it at the time, too, in which I feel that...
I was one of the founding members.
Yes, a founding member, y'all. This is showing that a lot of us have the potential to really start things that don't exist. And so with Hood Liberation, I felt like the importance of it is to really hear the cries of the community, right? And so while we're listening to the cries of the community, we are not demanding from the state anymore of what it is that we need, because we've said it to them plenty of times and they don't hear us. But Hill Liberation is taking in those needs and creating opportunities for ourselves. And so our last event was Dina Day, 626 Dina Day. So if you were there, you kind of already got a sense of what that was like. But it was a space of putting together like black and brown vendors to come out and advertise for themselves and be able to be linked to the community so that we can fight against gentrification in that way. And I feel like that's the most powerful way. When you start taking away money from big corporations and investing it back into your communities and everyone who's in there, the power that comes with that.
Yeah.
And so that's how we fight for our homes. That's how we fight for the hoods. And that's how we continue to stay invested in that way.
Yeah, economic liberation.
That part.
Economic liberation, because without that, the rest of it is, because, you know, in reality, people fight with their money.
They do.
Where you know, Martin Luther King said that a budget is a moral document. And so where you put your money is what matters to you. And that always stuck
out
to me.
That's so powerful.
That always stuck out to me because I never thought about a budget being a moral document. And where we're putting our dollars, like how that affects our liberation. I even came up with the name because I remember Nadia was like, I want something with the name Hood in it. Hood. And I'm like, Hood Liberation. It was already
easy.
Existed.
It was easy for you.
Yeah.
Those things
already exist, because it already exists. We just, as a group, had to birth it, you know,
that part,
together.
That's the most beautiful part.
Yeah.
And a lot of it stems from adversity. Mm-hmm. A lot of that, the beauty that's born and the opportunities that are born come from places where a lot of us almost didn't have any hope.
Yeah.
So that's what brought us together. We were all like, what is going on? Our mental health is at stake here because everything is going on in the world right now, and especially with the uprising for the racial tensions. And so that's where Hill Liberation came from. And I felt like the name speaks for itself. And I think that's what's the most powerful. It's just a group of people who just have this similar passion and similar understanding of the struggles that are going on and coming together to actually do something about it.
And I want to shout you out because you're not even originally from Pasadena.
No.
But you still fight for our community.
I sure do.
Tell me about growing up in the Bay.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, I was originally born in Oakland, California. East Oakland, to be exact.
Oakland.
And
shout out.
510. And honestly, growing up in a community like that, you start to witness, because you almost, growing up in a marginalized community at that, you witness a lot. And there's a lot of community violence. There's a lot of just people hurting. There's drugs. There's gangs. And growing up from that, you're able to kind of almost realize that there's a common denominator in that. Everyone's struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And maybe people's coping strategies may not be the best, but I feel like with the limited access that we have, it's almost a lot of what we were forced to do, you know? So again, hearing and growing up in those cities where you're able to witness the cries of the community, and then coming out here to see similar communities existing, it's almost as if, like, if I don't fart as hard for others, I'm not fighting for my own either.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's just a little bit where I'm from in Oakland. And although there's a lot that goes wrong in Oakland, or at least like a lot of the violence that happens, it's still such a beautiful city because so many flowers blossom out of there. Hey, I needed that. Take it all the way back home. This is our stuff.
This is what I think about when I think of the Bay.
I love it. I love it.
The real music.
This is how you make it feel like you at home.
Get it. She just recently, tell us about the thing you shared when you, you know, on Instagram, if you're not following Desiana.Torres, you need to be, because she shares some incredibly introspective, beautiful posts,
Thank you. And it
reminds me about the possibility of what social media can be.
That part.
Because it can be such a toxic place.
It could be. But the thing is, once we understand how to actually use power with it, mm-hmm. and intention. You have to post with intention.
Yeah.
Then things change, and the way that your post can be, instead of just like, for me, I used to always post, you know, it's almost like I call it the avatar. I would post an avatar version of myself that I wanted the world to see, but that it didn't really reflect who I was, mm-hmm. and I couldn't really feel safe to exist within it. You know, I would always be scared, double guessing myself to post something, and did I look good, or is this good, you know? And it's like when you come to a point where you're just, you're present and you're at peace with being able to exist in the way that you do, then your post would automatically show that. And it's like, my post is something, or at least my page is something that I'm very vulnerable with, which I'm sure you know. Like, I share so many parts of myself that were almost like the darkest days.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something you posted today.
Yeah.
Something about your physical journey of taking your physical life back. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So it was back in 2018. I had just got out of a 5-year relationship, and it was just a really hard time for me. You know what I mean? Coming out of a relationship for that long, you almost like lose yourself. Anybody else ever feel like that?
Put I in the comments
if you felt like that. Like after a breakup, you just kind of just don't even know who you are anymore. You were so dependent on that person. And so for me coming out of that, I almost went into like a deep depression. And I think that's the realest way that you could say it is like having to rediscover who you are in the midst of feeling like someone took everything that you were to become.
Like almost like a vampire.
Yeah, like they just sucked the soul out of you.
Yeah.
And so in that place, I just started gaining hella weight because I found so much comfort in eating and food. Like, anybody else find comfort in food? I was kind of asking that.
I find so much comfort in food. Right? But what I've noticed is that when I'm in a breakup setting or when I'm in that mind frame, I can't eat. Because I'm so anxious and so on edge that I can't
eat.
So I have had people say, oh, well, that's a good thing. Like, honey, no, it's not.
You're depriving your body of what it needs.
Me shaking my body like this because I don't have any nutrients in it. That's not a good thing.
That's not good.
We have such an unhealthy relationship with our bodies.
That part.
And with other people's bodies, with the kinds of compliments we give, the kinds of comments we make.
That part.
You know, even the idea that it's okay to comment on another person's body.
That part.
That's unhealthy.
I'm unlearning that because society makes it so normal to be that's the way that we are now. That's the way we have to function. But it's like when you learn about love, you learn it's so unconditional. And what that means is that you love beyond physical because physical changes. You know what I mean? Physical can always change.
Fades.
Yeah. But it's the soul that's the most important.
Yeah. And it seems like you found that in your new relationship.
I did.
We're going to get there because that is one of the reasons why I chose this topic to talk specifically to Dez about, because seeing her in her new relationship thriving in a healthy space, it gives me hope.
It does. It still gives me hope, and I'm in it. You know what I mean? So I definitely hear that. And I'm so excited to be able to share some tips that I have learned along the way to help people kind of jumpstart theirs too, because I feel like it's needed.
This is my song right now.
Hold her hands on my mama. Hey. I'll be
thinking my I love this song.
It's so important.
Ariana Grande.
She's a real one. She's a real one. Because she reminds you. Okay, thank you for the lessons. All right, next is next. You know what I mean?
And she just got married, so congrats. I hope it works out. I hope everything is healthy.
That part. Marriage is a huge commitment, and I know many are scared of it now because of what it's become. But they're still hoping that.
Yeah.
You can still have a beautiful marriage.
There's still hope everywhere, and that's the Millennial Mija podcast wants that to be the overarching theme that comes across, is that life is how it is, but there's still hope in every aspect
Still hope.
Yeah. We are at polar opposite ends of the spectrum right now when it comes to relationships and, you know, the spaces that we're in. And I could look at your relationship and be sad.
Say it.
I could.
Say it.
I really
That's
could.
Real.
And I could be jealous.
That's real.
I could be green with envy.
That is so real.
I could be angry that's not my reality. But I'm not, because I have so much hope in me. And he didn't take that. He couldn't take my hope. And that's the reason why, in the poem I wrote, I say, when you look in the mirror, I hope you see only the faces of the women you tried to destroy but couldn't. And that's real to me.
That is powerful.
That's real to me. The poem I recently wrote is called How to Banish a Narcissist. And what it came from was a failed relationship. I wouldn't call it a relationship because
but were you hopeful that it was going to get there?
I wouldn't call it a relationship because I didn't know who that person really was. So you can't really be in a relationship with a person
you don't know.
Yeah. A person that doesn't exist.
That part.
You know?
Or the person they portrayed themselves to be.
Mm-hmm. Especially when that person isn't real. But I wrote that as a cord cutting for a cord cutting ceremony to cut the spiritual ties between me and that person. And the only reason why I shared it was because when I started to look into narcissism and narcissistic abuse, I started to see there was an entire community built around this abuse.
Yes.
There's a whole community.
It's
there's
so
like,
common.
Yeah, it's really common. And so I decided to share that poem. One part of me was like, man, he's going to know that I, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? He already knows.
That part.
He already knows what he did.
That part.
And I should not. If people wanted you to write better about them, they should have treated you better.
They should have given you something good to write about.
They should have treated you
that
better.
That part.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you have, when I have something on my heart, there should be no reason that I don't share it.
No, you're entitled to your story.
Yeah.
If it was an experience that you went through that took a toll on a part of yourself that changed you in a sense, you are entitled to share that. And I get that because we always carry guilt when it comes to talking about past relationships or speaking bad on people's name. And it's not necessarily that. It's the bad behaviors that people engage in. Doesn't mean they're a bad person, but it means, you know, I mean, they got some fixing. They need some work.
Yeah.
And I definitely hear you when it comes to like being able to hold our truth without the guilt.
Yeah.
Of feeling like mm-hmm. I'm doing like this is wrong. I shouldn't be able to speak about something I went through. But no, own your truth. And I know it's so hard, but it's true.
It is. When I found how many other people who had gone through this, like in this, you know, this online community of,
yes.
of people who were formerly with a narcissist, I decided that I was going to share I wouldn't call it a spell, but the letter that I wrote to this person's soul in order to cut that tie. And the reason is because this is painful. This is when we talk about narcissistic abuse, it's miserable.
It is.
It's miserable because it's not physical. I mean, in some cases it is, but in my case it was not physical, but it's mental. And that, the mental abuse is
that part.
Is a deep, deep, deep rooted trauma.
It is a deep rooted trauma. And I think that's what's the hardest part about it is because there's not a lot of people who speak up about it. So then a lot of people silently struggle with the same battles from previous relationships that they haven't healed from. And then they see the same problems every time they date. And
well,
they're
then like, you end up dating the same person.
Yeah, I call it the same face, different case.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Same face, different case.
That's a perfect way to put it. Because you know what? The creator, universe, God, until you learn the lesson, you're just going to keep going through the same exact thing.
That part.
Until you're ready to learn the lesson. And it was a very powerful moment for me to write that. And wow. In the caption, it says to be read aloud because it has to be.
It has power.
It has power. Our words have power, and our words have power when they're directed at someone who tried to take something
that
from
part.
Us.
That part.
And the words in the poem, I think I actually want to read it now.
Yes.
Let's read it now.
I feel like that's exactly where it was going. I got you. Here it goes right here, Mama. Let me turn the brightness up for you.
So it's called How to Banish a Narcissist. I'm not going to say his name because I'm not going to give him that satisfaction.
That part.
So I'll just call him, for all intents and purposes, this motherfucker.
Hey, I love it. Let's hear it.
I am speaking now directly to the soul of this motherfucker. I am no longer your prey. I see you now clearly as the predator that you truly are. You no longer have access to my spirit. You no longer have permission to use me. You no longer have access to my heart. You studied me and others and used all you knew to control us. You deceived and willingly hurt people who loved you. The deception you got away with for so long is now out in the open. Your power isn't real. It never was. May this light illuminate all of the skeletons you tried so hard to hide. May they be on permanent display for all the world to see. I wish nothing for you but justice. You deserve to feel pain, to end up alone. You deserve for your whole empire to fall, but I know it is not necessary for me to act on any of that. Your karma is waking up every morning as yourself. By the power vested in me by my ancestors, I banish you from my life and I bind you from doing harm to anyone else. May your powers of deception fade away so that you are forced to be who you truly are 100% of the time.
Wow.
Every time you look in the mirror, may you see only the faces of the women you tried to destroy but couldn't. May your money and false power be stripped of you so you have nothing left to hide behind. May the hearts you've broken be healed instantly. May the soul ties you cultivated with evil intentions dissolve into thin air. May all the women you tried to own be free from your grip. May you accept the consequences of your actions, and may the rest of us find peace. And so it is.
Wow. Wow.
And that's when you snap. That's when you snap.
That's when you do the, do the poetry snap.
Because the power that comes from that. And you see, when we were talking earlier about how like so many blessings come from these adversities we face, the power that you discovered of yourself that came from that situation was almost like that thank you next moment, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like that thank you for that experience, but you didn't take nothing from me. You couldn't.
Exactly.
But the power that you spoke upon, I want to highlight one of the parts that you said that really, really touched my heart. It says, your power isn't real.
Yeah.
It never was.
Mm-hmm. Because when you're being mentally, you know, formed into something else, like you're being manipulated, essentially.
Yes.
That power is not real.
No.
Because if you have to lie to kick it,
then
your power ain't real.
Mm-hmm. It's not. And the only thing that I felt like is so important for us to realize is that we are in control of who and what we give power to. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can give power to people. But we can take it right back. That's what we forget. You know what I mean? We'll give it to them. They'll mess it up. And we'd be like, we have nothing. But it's like, no, they didn't take that.
Do you all see why she's on the show?
They did not take that.
Because she can keep up with me. Not only can she keep up with me, but she teaches me things. And that is the reason why I keep you around.
Yes. Because we coexist with each other and always pass on wisdom.
You know, when recently when you came to me and told me that you wanted to, what you wanted to do, which I want you to share.
Yes, yes.
I invited you to my sunset ceremony, and that's a sacred place.
And I said it from the moment. I said, thank you for bringing me to a place that was so personal for you.
But the reason is because you are divinely placed in my life. And so you needed access to that so that you could get access to your own sacredness.
That part.
And I needed to be able to encourage you to do that.
You know? And like, you have.
My dad is, he would always say that the only way to keep what I have is to give it away. And we have to give it away.
And I feel like, Say that again. I feel like people, hold on. If you didn't listen to this part,
Crazy Ernie got something to say. Crazy Ernie's popping in. All right. He said, the only way to keep what I have gained, the spiritual principles I know to be true today, is to give it away to another person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That always stuck with me.
Because a lot of us think that we have to be stingy with the knowledge and the wisdom that we have because we feel that we are entitled to it. But the reality is we're only entitled to it because it was given to us, those struggles and those experiences, so that we can share them out to the world and that people who are also going through similar struggles can have and be able to build a sense of hope.
Yeah. So one of the things you asked me about was wanting to write a book, because that's something I had experience with. So tell us about your book and where you're at with it, what's your process has been. Just update us.
Thank you for the opportunity to even share that. So, y'all, I am writing a book, which is, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm even saying that, you know? I am a person who, the book is called The Becoming of Her. And I always speak of myself in third person, and I feel like people notice that on my post too. I'd be like, oh, her and she. Because there are different versions of me that existed before that no longer exist now. And I acknowledge that in a sense of she didn't die. She changed.
She evolved.
Yes. Look. Oh my goodness. See how intentional this space is. I love it. So coming with that knowledge and stuff, I wanted to be able to put a book together to allow people, because people only see me. I feel like people see me now as I'm not at my best, but I'm getting somewhere. And people are recognizing that. People are like, you're glowing, you're this, you're that. And I'm like, I appreciate that so much, but this is where I came from.
Yeah.
And that means if I came from this, and if you're currently here too, right now, then there is hope that you can become more versions of yourself. And so my book is a poetry book, but it's also a book that has short stories in it of different things that impacted my life. And so, the process of it, of writing it, it's hard. I'm not even gonna lie. I think the first step that I had to get through is fighting against the fear.
Oh, girl, let's talk about fear a little bit.
Yeah, let's sit there, because it's not that I didn't have the potential. It's not that I didn't have the story. It's not that I didn't have the ability to write. It's I didn't believe in myself. I didn't believe in myself. That was it. I was my only obstacle. Everything else was set before me, and I was ready to get this. Then I've been wanting to write a book for years now, but just never got myself to it. And I called Angie and I was like, yo, what's up? Can we meet up? Like, I kind of have like an idea of something I want to do, and I know that you've done it, and I kind of want to hear like some wisdom, some tips, anything that you got. I never asked for help. I used to be so prideful, but I'm in a place now where I know that in order to get to where I need to go, the universe is going to bless me with people to get there. Got to utilize that.
Yeah.
And so when we met at your sacred place, when you told me that we have wings, all we have to do is just jump, I was like, That was it. That was my moment. That was my breakthrough moment right there.
That's what
there.
You came to hear.
Yes, like that's what I needed, because we have to know, like that's like I said before, we always have all the everything that we need, everything that we want. We just have to just trust the process, and it's not going to be an easy one.
Well, because jumping is never going to not be scary.
No.
No matter what it is.
Not at all. You're gonna look down and see everything that can go wrong.
Everything.
Like, that's what you're going to be focused on. Yeah. Everything that can go wrong. But while there are things that can go wrong, there's so many that can go right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we need to focus on when it comes to being able to pursue things that we are truly passionate about. And so my book, The Becoming of Her, is having different poems about different parts of my life. So some is my childhood. Some is the good parts of my childhood. And some is the most traumatic parts of my childhood. Yeah. And then I talk about love, healthy love, and also toxic love and what those experiences were like. I also talk about, like, confidence and insecurity, body dysmorphia, like something that exists so commonly in our society today. So I'm very, very vulnerable in this book, and the process has been therapeutic because I've been healing. After each poem, I go back to a memory, and then it's still painful for me, so I write about it, and then I say it out loud, and then it's almost like I'm like, okay, I'm over that now.
I did it. Because what you're doing with every single poem is you're confronting those parts of you. And when you have the courage to confront something, God, creator, universe rewards you by saying, good job.
That part.
You did it. You don't have to carry this anymore. You can put it down.
That's it.
The book, it will be a physical manifestation of your spiritual growth.
Yes.
You know? And so you will, when you hold that book, it's going to feel like you're holding a child.
Wow.
It really is. You're giving birth, you know, in that way. In that way you are.
I receive that. I think because, like you said, it's the birthing of a... Wow, it's something new.
Yourself, like you were talking about, the becoming of her.
So, you see how the world just wraps around? We're in the same room. I love that. And I felt like, wow, I needed to hear that today. Because sometimes I'm like, is this too vulnerable? Is this too deep? Like, and some of my poems, I also have reflections in there to help people, if it was too heavy, to be able to reflect in it. How did that feel for you? What came up? To give people the same opportunity to process whatever memories that came up for them that they maybe haven't dealt with.
Yeah.
And so that's just a little incorporation of what the book is going to mean to me. It's also going to be released in September. So it's something that I'm right now, I'm in the editing phase of it, getting it ready. And then pretty soon I'm going to be shipping it off, getting the test ones. And then it's all from there.
And you're self-publishing, right?
Yes, I'm self-publishing.
Good girl.
Yeah, I'm definitely self-publishing.
Because you don't need shit from these people.
Nobody.
Who are only going to take money out of your pocket.
Out of your pocket. For no reason, just for your existence.
But once you sell a million copies on your own, and then, you know, Random House comes through, like, here's $1 million advance.
I'll take it.
Then we'll take it. But for the first round, girl, you got this. You don't need nobody. Everything you have, everything you need, you already have.
I already have.
Yeah.
There's a song like that. Have you heard it?
No.
It's like, everything that I have, I already, or everything I want, I already need. Something. It's like a manifestation song.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I got to listen to that after.
The process of writing the book, do you have an editor?
Yeah. So, well, no, I don't. I'm actually, you showed me and someone else recommended the same place, to go on with for the people who, like, you could pay and stuff.
Oh, Fiverr.
Yeah. So
Fiverr is a real, tell them about Fiverr.
Oh my goodness. If you need a resume, a website, anything that you need built and you have no experience with, you can go on this website, and people who know how to do it would do it for you at very affordable prices. Mm-hmm.
It's called Fiverr, Fiverr.
Look it up.
.com.
Look it up. There are people who are willing to help. I mean, obviously, you got to pay them, but.
Yeah.
But they're there. They're there.
I've gotten my resume and my cover letter done on there. Like, I've gotten my website designed on there. Anything you can think of that you don't know how to do, someone on Fiverr knows how to do it. Yeah.
So I'm getting done that way. I was still kind of nervous about that because I'm really authentic with my writing, and I'm like, I hope they don't try to change too much of who I am. But
I'm down to look at it if you need another pair of eyes.
I appreciate that. Yes, I'll
also because those people on Fiverr, that's a little sensitive of a job.
True.
You know,
it's almost
because what they will edit is good because it will be like typos or whatever. But when it comes to editing the words of a poem, that's like changing someone.
It's like I picked that word with intention. Yeah. What do you mean you don't like it? Yeah, you're right. So no, if you're definitely. I mean, I appreciate you extending the offer, and I'm willing to accept. So thank you.
Of course. Accept.
Thank you. Accept it. I love this. We got to push that more.
I know. Well, we have been having a lot of magical moments, so
yes.
It's the pink one.
That's the pink one. I'm going to push it when I feel like you said something magical, too.
Okay, yeah, same here.
I got you.
So, the process of writing the book, and
yeah,
how has your man, your healthy relationship, how has being in this relationship allowed you to get to a place where you were ready to face that fear and move through the fear into writing the book?
That part, he has been my backbone throughout the entire process. Because like I said before, it hasn't been an easy one. And sometimes like I read all my poems to him. Yeah. And I don't do that. I never share, like, I always want to be a surprise to the world. But with him, I just want to hear his feedback, because he always challenges and encourages me to be like better versions of myself too. And so, but when he listens to me give a poem, he's not just listening to me share something I created. He's looking for ways that he can be of comfort if it still hurt me when I wrote it.
Oh, I touched the magical.
Touch it.
Because yes. It, when someone loves you,
yeah,
they're not just listening for to critique the poem.
No.
That's powerful.
Yeah. So he has been someone who, and he doesn't change. Every time I say a poem, he never says like, you should do this better. He's just like, that was great. That was amazing. Like, I felt that. He will tell me like, oh, this is my new favorite one. And so it's stuff like that, to just hear him have that kind of positive support. That makes me continue to be like, I can keep doing this. Okay, good, good. Yeah. It's almost like that positive reinforcement when you like, mm-hmm. One of my love languages is words of affirmation. So when I feel like I have that support, it's like I jump more into spaces.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And when it comes to healthy love,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you only know healthy love because you've known toxic love. So talk to me a little bit about the relationship that you were healing from. Talk to me about that.
Of course. And I'm going to give some trigger warnings just in advance. A lot of this is going to be deep. And so if you feel like it's too much, definitely listen to your body and your mind. But I feel like it's definitely needed to be shared. So I grew up in a very toxic household. And so I'm going to go there first. That's where it started. That's where it starts. I grew up in a very, very toxic household where... I've witnessed a lot of domestic violence, and I've witnessed a lot of what they called love, both my mother and father. And so growing up from those experiences, and then you're off to the dating world at such a young age, you start to actually want to date and stuff. And so my father left my life when I was younger, so I had the daddy issues and all this stuff. And so obviously young girls are going to be wanting to look for love out in a man or whatever the preference is, right, in someone else. And so my first relationship was at age, I want to say I was about 14 to like 18, 19, which was like a huge amount of my time, 5 years. And so, it was a long time. And in that relationship, it was the most toxic relationship that I have ever experienced in my life. I'm talking about emotional abuse, physical, sexual, I mean, just everything you can think of. But I accepted it as a form of love because it was all I've ever seen.
You know, when you said it was what they called love, you know, in my last episode, I think I talked a little bit about that, like how we end up choosing toxic partners, because when you're in an environment where people are constantly telling you that they love you, then doing things that are unloving, then you then begin to walk into the world defining love in that way. And so when the person hurts you, makes you cry, makes you feel like shit, that's not a red flag for you. That's deeper in your fucking seat.
Yes. You're like, this is what it's
supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's comfortable here. This is what I've known. And so it wasn't until like I went to college where more toxic, like an example of how toxic he was like one time he said I wasn't allowed to go to parties or anything in college. And it's my first year. You know what I mean? And so, right. And so I told him I was going to the library to study. I lied. I was going to a party to turn up. Okay. I wasn't going to let somebody stop me. And this fool had a tracker on my phone. Like, he had a tracking device on my phone and found me. And like, I came, mind you, we lived an hour and a half away from each other. I was going to UC Davis at the time. He was in the Bay Area. And so the moment I came home and he was sitting on my bed late at night, you know what I mean? I knew that was the moment for me. I'm like, no, this is enough. And I feel like a lot of us, when we go through toxic relationships, it's almost like I said, like when you leave, you almost stay because you're afraid of being alone too.
Oh, that's a huge one.
Like I stayed way much longer than I should have because I couldn't face the thought of just being by myself because my dad wasn't there. My mom was like in a place at the time.
Because you constantly feel alone.
Yeah. And it's like you have no one giving you that comfort. And then the one person who's giving you comfort is also hurting you, but then he's comforting you after. And then you feel safe and then not safe. And then it's just a cycle that just continues and continues. So, yeah, I think in that sense, it's almost like you have to almost hope that there's something better, even if you've never experienced it or seen it.
Yeah.
You just know that I'm not supposed to be treated like this. I'm not supposed to go to sleep like crying all the time. And I'm not supposed to be feeling unworthy because they would like judge my body in ways that I'm still unhealing from. You know, like I wore a bikini one time. I guess I got him mad. He was like, "Why are you wearing that? Like you have stretch marks, you zebra." And I'm like,
piece of shit.
And this is like what? This is 2000, probably like 2000, like 8, he said this. And look at where we are, 2021, and I still remember that.
Still working.
That's how powerful words are. Mm-hmm. And so,
and words from the right person, man, can stab
you. Pierce you. They just pierce.
And they hit you right where they already know your insecurities are. And that has a lot to do with being in a toxic relationship and in a mentally abusive relationship. Like when you're in a relationship where the person is trying to hurt you,
like intentionally.
Yeah, because it's a means of control. Yes. If you're weak. Uh-huh. And you are like worried about your stretch marks, then you're not strong enough to say, you know what, fuck you.
That part.
Because they've worn
empowered
you down.
Me. Yeah. They've taken a part of my mind that I couldn't think for myself, and everything they said became my reality. Mm. That's how much power I gave them.
Yeah.
He would say something and I would just accept it because he made me feel like I knew nothing.
Yeah.
And I needed him. He would always say, ain't nobody gonna want you. You got an attitude. You got this. You got that. Look at him pointing out all the flaws, and I believed it until I realized, like your poem said, until we realize the power that they don't have.
It's not real.
It's not real.
It never was.
That part. And that's why that part stood out to me so much. So going through a toxic relationship, we have to understand that, like, coming from a broken household into a toxic relationship, now you got so many different traumas that you got to heal from. And what's important is that at the time, I didn't start my healing journey until recently. So all the way from my young age, all the way up until 25, I'm going to say I was living stuck in the same mindset of the next relationship, like we mentioned
living
before, would be the same phase, different case, because I was still stuck in my wounds, finding someone to fill the void within me that I couldn't fill within myself because I just didn't think I could.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I appreciate you sharing that. I know how fucking hard that is.
True. And communication. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
When you were talking about, you know, being 14, I just got chills because my first abusive relationship, well, my first relationship was from 14 to 18, too.
Wow.
I was not allowed to go to quinceañeras.
Nothing.
I couldn't wear skirts. I wasn't allowed to do these things. And to think of anybody allowing me to do some shit, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, but one thing about those toxic relationships, though, is that once you've gone through a toxic, a specific kind of toxic relationship, like, for example, with the no skirts or the, also something I wasn't allowed to do was speak to another man.
That part.
Even if it was a waiter.
Friends.
Even if it was a waiter. Once...
Let's go there.
Once I said thank you to a waiter,
yeah,
that was it. That was the worst day of my life.
Wow.
And I didn't know I was gonna talk about this.
See,
you know, it's like
we gotta hear
when you're upset at yourself for giving the power away, but you also need to take into consideration of how mentally manipulated you're being. Like you're being gaslighted to another degree to where and these people that have this disorder or whatever the fuck it is of needing to control another person. This, these fucking sociopaths, I don't know what you want to call them, but like this has got to be some type of like actual problem, you know, that they have. And they choose their victims very wisely, you know, and sometimes you're sharing something with someone saying like, oh, this happened to me when you first meet them, and they're taking notes of where your wounds are.
They're studying you.
Yes. They're studying you.
That part.
And using it to control you.
To control you. You could tell them the most vulnerable parts about you, and then they'll use it against you. That's why your daddy left you.
Yeah.
See, nobody wants you. And you're like, Yeah. I came to you in confidence thinking you was going to help me find comfort in that space. And you now you're flipping it to where now I feel like I need you.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, it's almost like, and we have to be gentle with ourselves in a process too, because we didn't know, you know what I mean? I felt like, especially women, our hearts are so pure and we love with so much intention because in our heads, we already know the end goal.
And we love with so much grace.
Yes.
We give so much grace.
That part.
We give so much grace to everyone but ourselves. Everyone but ourselves. That part, you know, talking about being 14 and being in that relationship, I have a poem called A Letter to Myself at 14. A warning, like my older self is trying to warn my younger self. And that's actually in my book.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like, it's, you know, the East LA Women's Center, Women's Shelter, hit me up to perform one time, and it was for a benefit for domestic violence. And I had to choose a poem to read. Obviously, I should have chose that one, but I started to read it, and I just immediately broke down. Like, I couldn't even. And because my identity is so much so built on empowering others, it didn't fit for me. I couldn't allow that. I couldn't allow myself to be vulnerable, even though that's my superpower. And I couldn't. And I remember looking back and feeling disappointed on myself. Even now, like, I feel disappointed that I didn't read that poem. I chose to read a poem that was still, like, in the vein of, like, empowering yourself and, like, you know, but it wasn't the poem that I should have read. Because that poem has the ugly, embarrassing parts that maybe were extremely vulnerable and extremely emotional, but I should have cried my way through it because there are people in that room that could have benefited from it.
True.
Just like people right now in this, you know, internet world are benefiting from this conversation.
True.
Hearing us share those, you know, the things that you're not allowed to talk to a waiter. You know, you're not allowed to go to a party.
You're not allowed to be human. That's what they're saying.
You're not allowed, period.
You're not allowed just to do anything. Like, what? You don't get to tell me how to live my life, baby boy. Nah, that's not what we're going to do now.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's what help leads into the healthy relationship is the boundaries.
Well, because you never, when you've gone through a specific kind of abuse, you will never accept that specific abuse ever again.
No.
And that's what's great about it. But then when it morphs, see, because you know how the devil shows up? The devil doesn't
speak
show
about
up
it.
With ears.
No, he don't.
And with his horns and a fucking
cape. You ain't gonna know it's him.
The devil shows up as everything you ever thought you wanted.
That part.
And that's how it showed up for me.
That part.
And recently, when that happened, I have gotten to a place in my life where I'm like, I'm healthy now. Like, I love myself. I'm trying. I'm growing. I'm all of these things. You know, I'm working towards this stuff, this growth. And so when someone comes into your life disguised as the person they think that you want,
that's it.
Then you accept a form of abuse that you didn't even know existed.
You didn't
because
even
it
know.
Comes dressed as everything
as
it, you
like
wanted.
It's pretty. Yep, it comes dressed as pretty, and then we find out pretty soon they take off that mask and we confront it with a version of them that you said before never existed.
Yeah, you find out that everything else was a lie.
That part, and I felt like that's what's so hard about like. Being a young woman and being in a society now where love is almost so beautiful that you want to be able to experience that, you know? And it's just like, how can we get to a place of recognizing that, okay, the relationship I'm in right now, I know it's not the best for me. Like, I know I've been known because a lot of women stay for a long time before and they know the whole time that they're done. But like I said before, it's being able to just recognize that the people who have manipulated you and made you to feel so weak and so dependent on them still don't have power over you, even if it feels like that.
And you have the opportunity to take it back at any moment.
That part. And it's just like we have to come to a place where we recognize that moment. And so I guess the question is, how do we get there?
Yeah.
How do we get
there?
How
did you get there?
Tell
me about the work that it took to get from that.
Ooh.
That because, you know, that video that you posted. Today of you working out and you know those videos are so powerful, Des. Like the what you share, what you choose to share, it even goes back to that vulnerable moment of me because I'm totally comfortable being empowering. That's where I live. I live in this space of speaking life into everyone. But when we were at the retreat for the Hood Liberation Retreat and it was time to talk about how we really felt, oh my God. I'm like, I get emotional thinking about it because that's hard.
It is hard.
That part is so hard for me.
It is.
Because vulnerable for the longest time in my life was looked at as being weak.
Weak. Yeah. And it still is for a lot of people. Because we grow up in a society that just teaches people not to be in tune with their emotions. We judge women for being too emotional when everyone is emotional. Like,
everyone's not emotional enough.
Yeah, like that part. And when men do learn to express themselves and find confidence in it, they're often met with this version of you're weak.
Yeah.
You have feminine characteristics about mm-hmm. yourself that take away from the masculine image that you're supposed to uphold.
Don't
in
act
this
like
society.
A bitch.
That part. Yeah. So it's like, at what point is it okay to just exist and just be able to just express yourself? Because the reason why everybody or a lot of people are struggling with like depression, anxiety, like a lot of these things that just hold us in a place of just darkness is we are afraid to just say or deal with the things that we've been taught. I mean, things that we've experienced that has harmed us. Mm-hmm. And we're afraid to do it because of how it's judged, but also because no one has ever showed us how to do it. Mm-hmm. Our family members, you can have trauma exist within the family and then everyone just continues to exist and no one talks about
it's a cycle,
right?
And not only that, but you know, it's difficult for me at times. What I like on the last podcast, I found myself going towards talking about my mom and knowing that my mom was listening, it was like, oh hell no, I can't go there. And then I got scared and kind of shifted the conversation because if these people are still here, you know, then you don't want to feel like you're hurting them, even if you're talking about your own pain. That's another thing that we do. That's, you know, we censor the truth so as not to hurt anyone else, even the people that hurt us.
I love that you brought that up because in my book, that's exactly what I'm doing. My mother is my best friend now, but growing up, we were so the opposite, like so the opposite, such a toxic relationship growing up. And in my book, I've challenged myself to own my truth, even though some people might be hurtful of it. Maybe it'll bring up a conversation that needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know, if
most
she reads
it,
then mama, let's talk about it now, you know, because most times when we try to talk about to our family members about stuff that we've experienced in a household, they'll be like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. You're just saying I'm a bad mother. And it's like they take us out personal, but it's like, no, let's utilize this moment for us to
grow,
both experience and express so that we can grow closer together.
Because there's parts of it that we don't know.
No.
There's parts of like why they did things the way they did them that we will never understand and we will only ever feel victimized by. But if the conversation were to happen, it's a possibility that we might not feel that way anymore.
No. Yeah.
Because right, we didn't know what was happening or the circumstances of, and also that, like they in order for us to grow up in an environment that we grew up in an unstable environment, they have to come from an unstable environment.
That part. It's a generational thing. Why? In my family, we call it the generational curse.
Yeah.
And that it's existed prior to that, because even though I grew up in a domestic violence household, so did my mother, and then so did my grandma, and then so did my great-grandma. So then at that point, like when you ask what was the moment for me, it was the point of recognizing the history of the single mothers in my family raising kids on their own with all these struggles and not ever having a male, just anybody male in my family at all, right? And so coming from that moment, I was able to realize, like, this is a generational thing, and that's why it's so heavy on us because we've been born into it. And so when it comes to the healing journey, when it comes to love, you're not just healing, like I said before, like from your own personal experiences within trauma from your relationships. It starts at home. You got to go all the way back and start from day one when you were born. What was your household like? What was love like?
What were you born into?
Yeah, all that. And that's what's important, because when we're able to process what love didn't look like for us that we wanted it to, then we learn love. Because we learn what it's not. I don't know why that noise makes me want to move my little face.
Well, and
like
this thing that you're wearing is very like it goes with the noise.
It does, huh?
I'm all
it
trying
sure
to get
does.
Because
get comfortable. You are good.
This conversation is really important.
Yes,
I'm so glad you're here. I had no idea that I was gonna share.
I love that stuff.
You know, like I thought that this, because usually when I have a guest, I'm like only this is just them. But you make me feel open enough to share, because when you're sharing those, I'm cringing when you're sharing those things, specifically because I know how hard it is for me to share those things, and I'm like, and I don't want you to feel alone.
Yeah.
So like I want to offer something. You
how
know?
Did it make you feel to share something that you? That was so hard to
share. Scary. Scared. But
how'd it feel after?
It feels freeing. It feels liberating.
I love that.
It does, because now when when you acknowledge something about yourself, now no one can use it against you.
That part.
Yeah.
That part. And that's so important. It's almost like, I don't know why, it always reminds me to 8 Mile, the Eminem scene when he's rapping and he says everything that's horrible about him. And the dude best. Has nothing to say back. Like, that scene always comes to me when I hear people say that, because it's so powerful. It's like, you say it all. So judge me if you want to, but it ain't gonna hurt me no more, because I own my truth.
Yeah. Like, when you own your truth, yeah, no one can use it against you.
No one has power over you when you own your truth.
And that's the truth. Is a the truth, man. The truth just sounds different. You can hear. Shout out to NQ for that line. He had a poem called "The Truth Just Sounds Different," and it was about, you know, it was about that, the truth sounding different. But in this one part, he talks about how poets will get on stage and they're basically like they're spitting for an applause. You know. And that's a different thing than when you hear somebody go up on stage and you're just like, I can't even applaud right now, because I'm just like, God damn.
That part.
I can't even believe they said that. But they get off the stage free and the audience leaves free.
Because someone was willing to say something that someone no had one that courage. Wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say that. I'll be like, the shit no one talks about. That's what I want to talk about. The shit no one talks about. Let's go there. Because I feel like it's so essential, especially me being in a therapist role. So I am a social worker as well.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So I'm basically like a person who is just helping people find the power that they hold within themselves in a different way other than speaking through podcasts. Because essentially we could do the same thing here. You don't have to be a social worker essentially to do it. But I'm learning it. It's different than what I expected it to be. I noticed that we're almost kind of restricted with a lot that we can do.
We have a comment.
Oh, yeah. You want me to read it for you?
Yeah, let's see. Okay. It might be Anne asking for you.
Let's see. It says, thank you, beautiful ladies. Your words and openness means the world. Let's read some more comments, because I feel like I've seen
a couple. Oh, we have a lot.
Yeah, so we have someone saying, I'm scrolling through now, they said, there is hope and unification.
I love that.
That is bees_Heina.
Hey, what's up,
Heina? I love that. Heina. And then we also have a comment that says, where'd it go? Someone said they joined in at the right time. Truly never know someone's intentions. That's from AJ Ego, I believe. And then, and that's the last one that we read just earlier now.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody who's watching. And I hope you know that this is for you.
Yeah.
That whoever just happened to turn into this live, whoever just happened to listen to this podcast, whoever just happened to be listening on the radio, like, there's no such thing as just happened to be.
You were at the right place at the right time.
Yeah. This conversation is for you.
Definitely. And I wanted to touch back on what you were saying about what was the journey like, right? What did I start doing to get from a toxic relationship into a healthy one?
Yeah.
And I feel like that conversation is probably what everyone's waiting for right now, too. Like, how do we get there? Yeah. And if we're there, how do we stay there, right? It starts something. I'm just going to share my life experience in a sense, and then we're going to talk through it, too, so that you all can ask questions if you want to. Like, definitely
feel
be engaged
in
this, too. I want to share that I honestly, when I broke up in that last relationship, I was in a place where I was like, I have nothing. And at a point I was like, I don't want anything from anyone else. Because every time I try to get it from somewhere else, I always keep failing. And I created this analogy that I share with a lot of women, is that everyone is their own ice cream sundae. So if you know me, you always know about the ice cream sundae. Have you heard about it?
I saw it on your Instagram, but I didn't see the whole thing.
Oh, yes, yes.
Let's hear about it.
I always share, we're our own ice cream sundae. So just imagine a plate, right? You got your 3 scoops of your favorite ice cream, whatever they may be right now. And then you have your bananas and all the main ingredients that make this sundae what it is, right? When you enter into a relationship, now listen to this.
Write this down.
The person is supposed to be the sprinkles on top.
That's it.
To where if you don't get sprinkles and the store ain't got no sprinkles, it's okay, because you are still everything that you are. Mm-hmm. Now, those 3 scoops of ice cream, they stand for something. You want to know what they are?
Yes. Tell me.
Okay. We got 3 things. 3 scoops of ice cream. Self-love. Self-worth. Self-confidence.
Yeah.
All 3 start with?
Self.
Self. Now, what we notice when we go into relationships is when we're entering into these spaces, you are essentially going to someone with an empty plate saying, what can you put onto my plate that you can also take away when you leave? right? And so I think we need to get to a place when we're dating in relationships and we're like, okay, my ice cream in terms of my self-love is a little low, so I got to build myself up in here, build up my self-confidence, build up this so that when I enter into a relationship, I'm still complete in all that I am. And even if they leave, I'm still going to be okay. I'm good. I got everything I need on my plate.
Yeah.
That's what the place, essentially, that's the goal. Now, how do we get there? How do we feel like three scoops of ice cream, our self-worth, our self-love, and our self-confidence? And I truly challenge women to be on top of podcasts, be on top of readings. There's books, there's knowledge.
You have to feed yourself.
Yes, there's two books I brought to share.
Please.
Yeah, so women, if you were in a place where you're like, I want to heal from a toxic relationship, I want to be validated in a sense, I want to understand how to process the trauma that I've experienced, how do I get to a place to where I can recognize that this is no longer for me, and then this is for me, and this is healthy, right? The first book I'm going to recommend is called You Are Enough, and it says, is it real love or your need for validation? Right? Overcoming people-pleasing and emotionally unavailable relationships. And this book is by Rainey Howard. I'm going to put it up on the IG so people can see what it looks like. It's this one
here. Buy the book, y'all.
Yes. This book here talks a lot about her daddy issues and things that she experienced, things that she tolerated.
It's all highlighted.
Yes, if y'all can see, I went deep into this. And the most important thing about this, too, is it also has writing reflection questions.
Oh, that part.
That you're able to be able, like I said, is like once you understand and read something, it will literally leave your mind if you don't allow yourself to process or to apply that knowledge mm-hmm. that you learn.
Applying it is important.
That's how you get to where you want
to
be.
You have to apply what you read or whatever to your own life. You say, okay, so this is what it meant for them.
Yes.
How does my dad come into this?
That part.
What is my story? How does my story play into the lessons that I just learned in this book?
That you just learned. Because the thing is, here's the thing. We all know the truth. When we're in these relationships, we know that there's something better for us, right? We know that there's, hold on, let me fix my chair. I think it's stuck on this one. Okay, there we go. So we know that there's something better for us. We just essentially don't know how to get there. So like we said, if we don't start applying things, and I can give an example of that too, is like I was on a dating app, like 2 years ago. And someone was like, it was Cinco de Mayo. Someone was like, yo, I'll come over. Like, we'll hang out. I'll bring this and that. Like, we essentially made plans of what we were going to do, right? So I'm in this healing journey. And at this point, I'm like, I'm not taking a relationship serious, but I am trying to apply knowledge to start seeing how I can get to where I want to be, right?
Experiments,
right? I know that sounds so horrible, but it helped me. It helped me. It really did.
Yeah, you got to use the scientific method in your life, too.
That part. And so this person basically said that they were going to come at a certain time and they were going to text me when they're on their way. I never got that text message that they were on their way and they never showed up. And at the same time, the next morning, they text back with an excuse saying like, oh, sorry, like I got caught up at my boy's house, but I'm going to make it up. He said, I'm going to make it up to you. So I'm reading this text message and I'm like,
you can already see
my old self would have been like, oh, okay, you're going to make it up to me. You're putting in effort. That's effort. And my higher self was like, you gave him an opportunity to be in your existence. And this is the first impression. And he didn't show up, nor did he communicate. From day one, he's showing you who he is. Mm-hmm. So you know what my response was?
Believe him.
I said, look here, the audacity that you have to think that you already have a second chance in my life when I gave you an opportunity and you didn't show up and you didn't come and take advantage of that. So based on that, you don't get that second advantage with me. So I apologize, but this is no longer going to work.
Girl.
End of the conversation there.
The audacity of these men is at an all-time high.
The audacity.
I am so proud of you for doing that. How did it feel?
It was honestly such the most. That was the first experience I ever had with setting a boundary. And not like just giving someone another chance because you want to feel bad for saying no to at the same time. And so when I did that, the power that I felt that I had within me was like, wait, damn, I could really fucking control who comes into my life and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really that easy. All I got to just say it. Mm-hmm. Just say it. And what they do with that knowledge is on them. But if I'm stern with my decision because I know that where I want to go doesn't involve behavior like that, it's easier. I love it. So, yeah, you just got to do it. You You just got to do it.
So the stuff that you learned in these books. So tell me about, like, what are some things you remember learning from that first book?
Yeah, so this first book, I'll actually read one of the questions that I asked, because maybe someone can journal about this tonight. I think chapter one was called Losing Yourself. And she was talking about dating a man who, like, she didn't even want to talk to at first, which we all know this story. There's always people who we don't want to talk to, who put in so much effort to get us, and then they get us and then don't act right, right? So
they're called narcissists, that part. Y'all.
So in the beginning, she's talking about her relationship with this guy who she's been dating for a while, and he's been doing everything. She was going to his place, and all of a sudden, he, like, is only coming to her house to hang out and all this stuff. And then she finds out he has a whole woman living with him.
Of course he does.
Right? And so in the midst of that, she's like, wait, hold up. But then she finds out the truth and she stays. Because she was afraid of being alone.
Yeah.
Because of her daddy issues. And no, so that's judgment. Why so much, no judgment at all. It's a gentle truth of what we put ourselves, what we go through, what we allow ourselves to go through sometimes. When truth reveals itself, what we do with truth is what will gain you power.
Can you say that again?
I forgot what I said.
You said the power of truth. When truth reveals itself.
Yep, then you discover power.
Man. Because when you know what you do with it. Because what you do with the truth. Ooh, oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Dude, that's so true. Because, oh my God, I don't know if the person that I am today, I don't know if the person that I was 5 years ago, gaining the truth that I found out about this person that I was dating, I don't know if I would have left them.
That part.
But the person I am today,
did.
When he looked for me, he found me. And I was like, fuck you. I'm out.
And how was that moment for you?
Man, when I left that moment of, I mean, y'all, it was an actual, like, General Hospital moment. Like, it was really dramatic. I found these people together and, you know, found out that he had a whole nother life. Yeah. And in that moment, like, obviously I'm, when I said he looked for me and he found me, we were like arguing and all that. And I got loud, but I didn't get sad. I didn't cower in the moment. I didn't let myself be wounded by that. It gave me so much power. I definitely was, like, in shock afterwards, like, sitting in the car for a long time, just, like, staring, like, not crying, not anything, just staring off into space because I could not believe what had just happened. I couldn't believe that I already knew that somewhere in my heart.
It already exists within us. Everything. And I love that you had that moment of clarification, because now that you know that, the opportunities are endless. Let somebody try you again. Yeah. I guarantee. Let them try you again. You know what I mean? That's why it's so important for us to get to a place.
I wish a motherfucker would.
That part.
I wish they would try me.
That part. But yeah, so the book, the question that they had asked, because she gives all these experiences, it says, what have you been avoiding in your life that has caused you to deny the truth about the relationship you have?
What have I been avoiding?
What have you been avoiding in your life that has caused you to deny the truth about the relationship in your life? You want to hear my answer?
Yes.
I said, in the past, I've been avoiding being lonely, which is insane because most times I find myself in relationships still feeling alone. Denying the truth covers the noticeable failures. Right? That's why this book is so good for me, because I never.
Can you go deeper into that noticeable failures?
Yeah. The noticeable failures was like, this person can't even give me just comfort. Like, I'm not asking for too much. Yeah. I know, you know, I don't ask for the bare minimum. Like,
and you don't even get that.
Not even that. And so when you're in situations where you are constantly having to beg for stuff that should already be given, you are in the wrong relationship, honey.
Yes.
I'm sorry to say it. And I say that with so much love and gentleness and care and peace and joy. But I want people, especially women, to be able to start discovering that their true worth doesn't rest in the hands of the person that may be next to them, that they go to sleep to every night and wake up to, looking at, like, it almost feels like your roommates at one point, you know?
If you have, also I want to say, if you have to have a fuck him playlist, he's not the one.
That part.
He's not the one.
Say
it.
Look, like, I
love that. That's our favorite pink button.
That is my button.
If you have to, let's give them some more. If you have to, if you have to ask permission for anything, mm-hmm. you're in the wrong relationship.
That part, because you shouldn't have to ask for permission for nothing.
You
didn't ask for permission to be born, so so essentially,
exactly.
That part. The second book that I'm gonna really, this one is like, look how thick this one is.
This is a workbook.
That is a workbook. That's exactly what we're going to say. It is called Dating with Purpose. My friend Jenny actually recommended to this. Shout out to Jenny.
Shout out.
Yeah, it's called A Single Woman's Guide to Escaping No Man's Land.
No Man.
No Man's Land by Dr. Erica Holmes. And so this book here, I actually got both of them on Amazon. But this one here talks about even the most simple things of like, challenging you to figure out your own dating behavior. So there's like an actual piece in here that's like, here it goes, right here. And it says,
just to be clear, this is the work.
Yeah, this is the work that you have to do. You almost have to go back to school and like teach yourself.
You're reparenting yourself.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, a lot of people do get that. I'm blessed that people who are born with like both parents and it's so healthy, they're already a step ahead, you know?
Oh, big step.
And it's like for people who didn't have that, we are like 10 steps behind, and that's okay too. You know what I mean? Our life is comes so that we are able to grow from those lessons to be able to apply them and experience better. So here it has Dating with Purpose and Dating in Desperation.
Let's hear some of those.
Yes. Okay. Which one do you want to hear? The purpose or desperation?
We'll do one and one.
Okay. Yeah. So if you were dating with purpose, you were interested in finding a long-term relationship. And if you're dating in desperation, I don't think they go like coexisting, but this one says, actually, I'm going to read a couple for Dating with Purpose and then we'll switch.
Okay.
So that was the first one, Dating with Purpose. The second one, it says you're honest about your needs and desires. Third says you're direct. Fourth says you reflect on your role in the relationship, emotionally available and stable. That's a big one. Are you emotionally available and stable? That part. Are you emotionally available and stable? Another one is have identified and communicated deal breakers. Boundaries. Right?
You communicated your boundaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so a couple from Dating in Desperation, which as you can see, when I did this, I had a lot checked out in there. It says you change your behaviors to get him to like you. How many times have we done that?
Ugh.
I could name 1,000 times.
Girl.
Right? Yeah. How about those listening? Go ahead and like or comment if you've changed your behaviors to get him to like you. Another one is agree with everything that he says.
I don't think I could have did that one.
Planning your wedding mentally.
Yes.
But not even long after you first meet. You done met this man 2 weeks ago. You already think he your husband.
He's the one.
Like,
that's just as toxic as the man who comes into your life and tells you he loves you after 3 days.
3 days.
Bitch, buys you a Tiffany necklace after 3 days.
Run. Always available. Cancels previously made plans when he says he wants to see you. I've definitely done that so many times where I have plans with my friends and I'm like, you know what? Sorry, y'all can't go. Something came up and I'm just chilling at home, my man. I can't believe myself for that. Digs for compliments and no need. It says insecurity what? Becomes anxious.
I thought you said dicks.
Oh, no. Sorry. Dig for compliments.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like trying to get them to give you a compliment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like because you're trying to fill your...
Because you're being starved of fucking like...
The most basic. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you're having a dig for compliments, I always say that with the ice cream. You're asking someone to pour onto your plate.
Yeah.
You should already know. When you go into a relationship, you should already know you are the shit.
Yeah.
You are everything. And if a man want to cheat and leave, bye-bye, honey. You ain't the one for me because I'm not sticking around for that.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is that your goals and your
desires
are.
Because my self-worth won't let me.
I know too much now. And I feel too much. I got too much power now. I know who I am. And I know that if this relationship doesn't work, it's cool because there's going to be someone else out there for me. You know?
Yeah.
And so the secret to going into a healthy relationship is doing the shadow work. Doing the dark work. Doing the work that just doesn't feel good all the time.
Oh, it sucks.
But you have to go there.
Crying your way through it.
That part.
Listening to, like, for example, there's this book called The Emotionally Absent Mother.
Oh, my gosh. I was actually just recommended that book.
Girl.
I need to get it.
You're going to cry your way through that book. But when you're done crying your way through that book, you know so much about yourself. You feel so empowered because when you know what's wrong, you can then start working on a game plan, a contingency plan to say, okay, these are the things that are broken. these are the ways I'm going to plan on fixing them. You can, but when you just live in this world and you're just acting from your wound constantly,
yes.
then you don't have a plan.
No, you don't.
And you have no way out of the wound.
No, you just keep circling around there trying to find a safer space, but you keep finding that nothing feels safe in this place.
And like my mom said, you know, that your wound may not be your fault, but your healing is your responsibility.
The healing is our responsibility. I think, there we go. We need that.
And on that.
The healing is our responsibility. And I feel like you said that so perfectly. It's doing the internal work, finding books that work for you, finding something, guides, mentors, finding people that you can talk to, therapists if you can afford it. I know that, you know, I'm a therapist myself, and at times I can't even afford therapy. So
that's
what's real. You know what I mean? So
welcome to America.
Welcome to America, our capitalist society, okay? but being able to just have a support system that helps guide you. I always say find friends who are already at that level. If your friends are still stuck in that, you got to go. Oh, I'm sorry. They played their purpose in your life. You got to continue to elevate and associate yourself with like-minded people so that the process isn't a lonely one. Yeah. It's not a lonely one. I think
growth,
that's what a lot of people think
be.
That. Yeah, the universe will always bring people into your life. God will always bring people into your life who are meant to bring blessings into you. And with that wisdom, when that wisdom comes to us, we have to be able to challenge ourselves to be like, okay, I'm not just going to listen to it because it felt good, but I'm going to listen to it and do something about it because I know it can make me feel better.
Yeah.
And now my relationship grows. My relationship now is almost so healthy that at times I almost self-sabotage it.
Oh, I could. Yeah, I bet.
You
because,
know, like,
because when you come from that, like you still, just because Dez is an extremely evolved person and just because I am trying to be an extremely evolved person does not mean that we still don't have defects.
That
we have
part.
Character defects that come from, you know, childhood trauma that
yes.
come from just being a human.
A human.
And so you have to fight against those things. Like I was telling Tiff the other day, Tiff, love you. Shout out to
I
you.
I love her.
And she's working on herself so much. And she said to me the other day, like, I want to grow so badly that I'm willing to do anything that I
anything.
Need to do. And I told her, you know, when these thoughts, these automatic negative thoughts, they're ants. They're called ants.
Oh my goodness.
When these automatic negative thoughts come to your mind, if you want to grow, if you want a different result, then you literally have to do the
opposite
of what you normally would do.
The opposite.
And doing that is so much easier said than done. You're going to cry your way through it. You're going to fight your way through it, but you're going to get through it. And when you do, on the other side, that's growth.
It's growth. And it's a beautiful growth. Mm-hmm. Because
and we can see that.
Yeah.
We can see that
I appreciate that.
You're such a blessing. Thank you for being on my show.
Always.
This has been like a lot more healing than I expected it to be for me because I wasn't expecting to participate as much as I did.
I'm so glad you did.
And I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
I'm so glad you came.
I know. Like my inner child coming out.
Bye, everybody. And, you know, like, I hope you all follow Deziana and I hope you get into all of her motivation and all of her just the gems that she drops daily. Because you're a blessing.
Thank you, Mama.
You're really a blessing, and everything you plan on doing. We didn't even get to talk about your workshops, but we could talk about that another
day. Yeah, we got that another time.
Yeah. She's going to be offering workshops, and when she does, make sure you sign up.
Yeah, because I'm going to be having workshops where a lot of us women are going, actually doing the shadow work of healing from toxic relationships together to create a community of women and self. So if y'all interested in that, definitely follow me on my IG. I do have to have a professional page in case, you know, professors and stuff will look me out. It was all. That one is at Deziana.Torres. That's spelled DEZIANA.TORRES. My more personal page where I post everything at, the motivational stuff, that one is at Confidez, at CONFI_DEZ.
Well, you know, we had to end with the anthem.
That's the return of the mat.
No matter where you at in this lifetime, you know, like, this song's always going to make
it's
you feel
always,
good.
And it's always like the return of yourself. Do you notice that?
And especially Ryan. After a breakup, the Mac is back.
The streets are calling.
All right, y'all. Thank you all for listening to the Millennial Mija podcast. And we're out.
Bye, y'all.
It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.